Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is a response of the day for Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Today we're going to get a chance to meet Rav Pinchas Zivichi, who is the author of Shu'at Ateret Paz, and he is still very much alive. I think he's born in 1960. Yeah, 1960, which means, and he learned in Yeshivat Porat Yosef. We'll see in this tshuva that he's a student in some sense of Rav Yosef. He has some connection to Rav Yosef, but it means that whoever sets up the Bar Ilan choices for who gets in and who, you know, which shutim they include, knew his name already. I think he's a very well-regarded prosaic in Yerushalayim for the Sephardi community. And this is a tshuva that he wrote on Rosh Chodesh Nisan of Tuf Shin Mem Aleph of 1981. So in 1981, he's a 21-year-old man, and he's writing this tshuva already. And this is about dishwashers, about whether or not you need more than one dishwasher. The question that came to him was, can you wash milchiks and fleishik dishes in the same dishwasher at the same time? We're going to see that fundamentally, he thinks the answer is yes. Although he's going to caution us, and we'll see that he'll say he thinks you can have only one dishwasher, but he'll say he thinks you have to use it with more caution than just using it at the same time. But basically, halakhically, he's going to think that at the same time would be okay. Now, one of the reasons, there are a couple of reasons I'm very excited about being able to do this tshuva with you. First is, I'm taken with the idea of somebody who, at such a young age, is already recognized enough as a posek that he's in the Bar Ilan. So I like the idea of getting to learn from Pinchas Zivichi. Other examples of dated tshuvot that I found of his have been way too long to be able to encapsulate in our time together. Even this one, I chop at, and it's a reminder that I have to chop these tshuvot down to their very bare essentials, and perhaps I'm doing violence to their mode of presentation in doing so, but I'm trying to do my best in terms of letting us being able to learn from these people. So that's one issue, that reason that I was interested in it. The other is that as we learn from Rav Pinchas Zivichi today, and he's going to point out at the end of the tshuva that Rav Yosef reviewed this tshuva and adopted it, meaning liked it and approved of it, so it's got sort of the imprimatur not only of Rav Pinchas Zivichi, but also of Rav Yosef. So that's an important pedigree to the tshuva. And as we learn it, and we realize that there is some halachic grounds, I'm not saying that Ashkenazim can follow this. I'm not even saying Sephardim can follow this. I'm not saying that you can take this to a practical halacha. You have to check with a rabbi. But as we think about it, the idea that there are poskim who hold that one dishwasher would be perfectly acceptable for a Jewish home is an example. There are many others, but it's an example of where Jewish communities sometimes take on a halachic psak. And at the time they take it on, they think of it as just, you're making a choice, might as well be more stringent, right? That'll be a lot of what's going on here. Might as well be more stringent, without thinking about the fact that that stringency has consequences down the road and has issues down the road. So if it becomes the fact that a kosher kitchen needs two dishwashers, that's what everybody knows. Kosher kitchen is two dishwashers. So once that becomes true, that brings with it a certain financial cost. And then it sets up a certain size of kitchen. And that usually only comes with a certain kind of house. And all of a sudden, without even realizing it, Jews, Orthodox Jews, observant Jews who really care about Torah and mitzvot, end up requiring of themselves that much more than perhaps they needed to, and that sets the horizons differently. And I think these are issues that come up in many, many cases. A really simple example, and not even a particularly halakhic example. The Art Scroll company, I don't know what you call it, Art Scroll Publishing, came out with a Gemara bunch of years ago already, and I think most people are clear that it's such a great boon to people because it helps people learn Gemara who otherwise couldn't. That could be true. I'm not going to discuss that issue. But note that the Art Scroll Gemara has, instead of, I don't know, 20 volumes or 30 volumes, whatever the traditional Gemara had, I think the traditional Gemara had 20 volumes for 39 Masechtot, the Art Scroll has 60 volumes, which are printed, you know, more expensive. So an Art Scroll Shas costs, I don't know, $2,000 or whatever it costs. And the used to be that a Shas cost you $150, $200, $300. So you've all of a sudden added to the cost of a Jewish library, you've put in another large jump in the requirements. Those things, kinds of things, come up often, and I think they bear noting. So as we learn this today, in the whole realm of kashrus, it's something to think about, these kinds of issues. I think kashrus has a lot of these issues to it. We'll learn this one issue that he was asked about. Can you put milk and meat dishes in the same dishwasher? So he says, first, let's get the technical issues down. In these dishwashers, you put in dishes that have pieces left over of milk and meat food, and you put them in the machine, and then what happens to the machines that he knows about, and the question of the technicalities is very important because he's only answering the question for the kinds of machines he's describing, as we'll see both here at the end. So this kind of machine he's describing is you put the dishes in, you turn on the dishwasher, and immediately a huge amount of water, hot water, very hot water, gets up to, you know, 165 degrees Celsius, 149 degrees Fahrenheit. And as soon as the water comes, there's also the dishwashing detergent or soap or whatever it is, right? And that stuff is very powerful and inedible, right? Poisonous, not poisonous, but inedible, and not the kind of thing you would eat. And it mixes in with the water right away. After it's all been washed off carefully with all of that, then it washes away, and then they put in new, clean, hot water, which doesn't have any of this soap stuff in it, and it washes, rinses it off. Okay, so why is that going to help us? So those are the important things. So the first step he talks about is there's a concept of an halacha called the nat bar nat. And that parnat is described in the Gemara in Chulin, and he quotes it for us, Kufyut Aleph Amid Bet. The case is what's called Dagim She'alu Bik'ara Im Basar. So, and Rav says it's Aser, and Bekutach Shmuel says you can't have it. I'm sorry, Alu Bik'ara Im Basar, and then Rav says you can't eat them with Kutach. So what happens is you have fish that was on a plate with meat. And then Rav says you can't then put it onto a plate or eat it with, not on a plate, you can't eat it with milk. Kutach is a milk kind of a mixture they had at the time of the Gemara that had sour milk with pieces of bread. I don't know why they ate it, but they did. So the point being that Rav is saying that since the meat gave taste into the plate, into the ke'ara, into the plate or bowl or pot, and then that plate or bowl or pot gave taste into the dagim, into the fish. If you then put it with the kutak, with the milchik stuff, not allowed, because you're going to have the mixture of milk and meat. And Shmuel says, nope, it's called the nat bar nat. The ta'am that you have, the taste of the meat that you have, isn't any longer, I think strong enough is the right word, but it's not anymore, let's say direct enough is even more accurate, that it creates a question of asur b'chalav. Since the taste of the meat went from the meat to the dish, to the fish, right, to the plate, to the fish, I don't want to rhyme here, to the plate, to the fish, and then from there it's going to create basar b'chalav with the milk and the kutak. That's three steps, and that's called the nat bar nat. Later in that Gemara, Chizkiya, the name of Bai, paskins like Shmuel, even though ordinarily we say the halach is like, it follows Rav, b'isure, matters of isur v'heter, matters of prohibited, of ritual issues. Here we paskin like Shmuel, that nat bar nat is an acceptable way around it, and there is no basar b'chalav problem here. The Tosos there bring the opinion of the Baal HaTruma related to this issue, that if you have dishes that you ate meat on them, you can't wash them in the same hot pot of dishes as milk if it's a kli rishon. If the water in there is what's called a kli rishon. A kli rishon is water that's been heated up in a pot on the fire. When you take it off the fire, now that's called a kli rishon, because it's directly from the fire. It's the hot water from the fire. So he says you can't wash dishes that you used for meat with dishes you used for milk in such a pot, even if there's no be'ain left, right? There's always a difference between an halacha, between when you have the actual item of meat and milk, that's going to be more serious. We'll talk about that a little bit also, but that's going to be more serious. But if you don't have the meat and milk, then what you have is tam. You have the taste of the meat that's left on the dishes, on the meat dishes. You have the taste of the milk that's left on the milk dishes. And the Baal HaTruma, right? The author of the Sefer HaTruma, called Sefer HaTruma, he held that you can't wash them in the same thing. Why not? Because you have the taste in the meat dishes, you have the taste in the milk dishes. Then ordinarily we might have said, well, it went from the meat into the dish, now it's coming out of the dish. So you might have thought to get into the other dish is going to be a third step, it should be a nat bar nat. But the Baal HaTruma said no, because it comes out into the water, and you have meat and milk in the water together, you create the basar b'chalav of the water together, you don't have that third step. Meaning the Baal HaTruma is saying that what the Gemara talks about nat bar nat, what it means is you have three steps. You have, it was given taste into one thing, that gave taste to another thing, and that's not going to give taste into a third thing. We say, nope, that's too little. But here, it's going to be from the meat into the dish, and from the dish into the water. Right now you say, well, but from the water it has to go into something else. But he's saying no, because both the meat and the milk taste are going into the water, and that creates an isser already without nat bar nat. And then once it's basar b'chalav, once the meat and milk that have been mixed together in that water, and now you have the water now becomes prohibited, and then if it gets back into the dishes, then it becomes prohibited. That was the claim of the Baal HaTruma, that those are two steps rather than three steps, and therefore you could not do that. You couldn't wash them in the same thing. That would seem to suggest that in this dishwasher you can't have meat and milk dishes, even if you rinse them before, so there's no be'ein, there's no actual meat liter milk, even if that were true, and we had said the case was going to be that you weren't going to do that. But even if you did do that, you washed it enough, there's no ba'ain, the Baal HaTruma would seem to say that at least Ashkenazim can't do such a thing. However, the Ran cites the opinion of the Ramban and the Rashba who disagree, and they think that, no, you got three. Why? Because the meat goes into the dishes goes into the water, and then the water has to give taste into the milk, meaning how do you conceptualize taste, right? Taste isn't a physical thing that we can identify. So he, the Baal HaTruma, was saying the meat and the milk get into the water and they meet up with each other, as it were. And these other Rishonim were saying that's not what happens. What happens is they give their taste into the water, but now that's taste held within the water, and the milk would also have to give its taste within the water, and that's a third step, and therefore they felt that that qualifies as a notin tam by notin tam, and it's mutter, and therefore it would never become basar bechal. Love, and the Rush also seems to have agreed with that view of it. So, the Beis Yosef in Yoredeya, I'm sorry, the Bedekabait in Yoredeya says, Bedekabait is, I think, the Beis Yosef's response to the Ramah, but he says that Lahalacha, since there's wide agreement that it's mutter in that situation, and we agree with them, he seems to think we agree with them, and the Shulchan Aruch has it that way as well, that Karot of meat that have been washed in a Yorach Olevet, in a milk, you know, they didn't have dishwashers. They would have these huge pots for washing dishes. You put a lot of hot water in it. It's a big pot so it can hold the water in it, and the water will stay hot. And the water is Yad Soledet. It's at a level that we think that it transfers Tom. Nonetheless, even though they both were used that day, it's considered an up and up right there for the reason that we said. As long as there was no shuman davik, there was no leftover, not just actual be'en can be actual meat. But not only meat, there's also like the fat or the oil of it, and that too is considered be'en. So he has to be sure before he puts that these dishes into that, he didn't have that leftover on it either. But if there was, then you need the water, and this comes up to another issue that could come up with a dishwasher, you need the water to have 60 times the amount of that shuman, of that fat, that was on the plate, because we say in Halacha that if you have 60 times of something, the taste is batel, the taste is nullified by the other stuff that overwhelms it. The Ramah there says there are those who prohibit it, even if there's no shuman, even if there's no actual fat on it, unless one of the dishes, either the meat dishes or the milk dishes, weren't b'nei yoman. There's another complicating factor that we in Halacha will think, and we're going to get up to it into this question as well, that only, taste is only its original taste for a day. And therefore, if the dishes aren't within, haven't been used within a day, then we think the taste that's inside those dishes is, you know, tintal livkam. It's not the full original taste, it's not the full quality of that original taste. And that will affect our halakhic calculations as well, because once you have no tintal livkam, there's room. We think that it's asr derabana no tintal livkam as well. So if you had basar b'chal of actual meat and milk mixed together, after a day, we would still prohibit it to Rabbanan, but it's a leniency, it's a room for a leniency. So therefore, he says that if one of the dishes wasn't B'nai Yoman, that's where people would agree that it could be a not par not, that we could read it as a, we could see it as a lower, a less direct form of taste, and therefore wouldn't create basar b'chala, wouldn't create meat and milk mixed together in a way that's a problem for us. Now, when it comes to our dishwasher, Rav Zichi says, we can't know that there are 60. If you could know that there's 60, that the water that's in the dishwasher is 60 times whatever, either the plates, that would be even better, right? If it was 60 times what the plates could hold, that would be great. If you had such a big dishwasher, but we don't have such a big dishwasher, so we can't know that, right? Or I think we generally probably assume it's not true. But even, let's say, you could imagine, let's say there was 60 keneged whatever be'ain was on the plate, but we can't know that either, he says. And therefore, he doesn't think you can rely on that in order to allow using these dishwashers in that sense. Meaning, if I knew that the water that comes out is going to be 60 times whatever be'ain there is, so whatever be'ain there is going to immediately be absorbed so fully into it, it won't make an impression, and therefore it won't be a problem, that would be perfect. But we don't generally assume that that's true. However, Shulchan Aruch in Siman Sadi Hei Si'if Dalet of Yoredeya says that he thinks that if in like a big pot vat in which you're going to wash dishes, you put ashes or dirt into the water. This is what the Shulchan Aruch says. You put dirt into the water. Now, the dirt is inedible. That's the important piece of it. It's something that's completely inedible, and it makes the water inedible. He says he thinks that even if there were fat left over on the dishes, the dirt in the water means that whatever possible taste could be created is an otein tam lifkam, is not a taste of good taste. And therefore, it's mutter, because you never create a ta'am of basar b'chalav. Remember, the worry was that you'd have meat or fat from the meat dish mix with fat or something else from the milk dish into the water, and it's not indirect enough because it was be'ain on the meat dish. It was the item itself on the meat dish. So when they mix in the water, they'll create the taste of basar b'chalav, the taste of meat and milk mixed together in hot water. So it's a real creation of taste. And that creates isser, which will then go back to the dishes, and asar the dishes prohibit, make the dishes prohibited. Rizviki's saying, I'm sorry, Shulchan Aruch is saying, if the water itself has such dirt in it that it makes the water inedible, it's a notin tam livgam, then you can never create a taste of basar b'chalav that would be a problem for us because it doesn't have any host in which to be created as any kind of a valid taste. That's what Shulchan Aruch claims. But, Rizviki notes, there are plenty of people who disagree with Shulchan Aruch on this point. The Shach writes that he doesn't know of any posek who wrote this way, meaning he thinks it's a chiddush of the Shulchan Aruch. And the Shulchan Aruch didn't even have it in the Beis Yosef, so it seems like it's a new idea the Shulchan Aruch had. The Shach says, we don't have the ability to rely on this new idea because we don't know any source for it. It sounds like it's logical, maybe, but we don't have a source for it, and therefore he thinks you can't use it. And then he pointed out, also, there's a Tosos in Chulin that seems to go against the Beis Yosef's idea, because the Tosos in Chulin was talking about, there's another halakha concept, not really our relevant concept here, called Chaticha Atzmanaseit Nevela. Let's say the taste of a piece of meat goes into the taste of another piece of meat. Right, so let's say it's a smaller piece of meat and a bigger piece of meat. Let's say you have one piece of meat that's 10. That's 10 times the size of another piece of meat. So all that piece of meat, the smaller piece of meat, was a treif, was a non-kosher piece of meat. Its taste goes into this new piece of meat. How much taste does that count as? Because remember, if we can get 60 times it, however it happens, but if we can get 60 times it, then we could be mevatel, we consider it nullified because it doesn't really make an impression anymore. Once it goes into that new piece of meat, how much now do I need to nullify it? Do I need 60 times the original piece? That's what you could argue. You could say, well, that's as much of prohibited items we have. So, you know, let's say what happens is, and you can't do this on purpose ahead of time. We're not talking about doing this on purpose ahead of time. That's a whole problem of mevatlin isur lechatchila, of deciding to nullify a prohibition. There are very rare times we're allowed to do that, but generally we're not allowed to do that. But let's suppose, before we realize what was going on, I'm cooking a pot of meat, and I have a piece of meat that like fits on the palm of my hand, and it's prohibited. It's pig meat, but I forgot. I didn't realize it was pig meat. And I put it into a pot, and it's cooking in the pot with a piece of meat that's 10 times that, right? Much bigger than that, just the two of them together. So the new piece of meat, that one, if I'm cooking them in a sauce that transfers the tom, it's now prohibited. Without realizing it, let's suppose, I put it into another pot, and in this pot, there's a lot of meat. It's a huge pot. I'm making, you know, a big thing, a big stew for a huge wedding, and it's a huge pot. And in that pot, I have 60 times the original piece of meat that fit on the palm of my hand. So now can I say it's batel? So if I only look at the amount of taste there was, I would think yes. So that's where the concept of Katicha Atzmanaseit Nevela comes in. There are those who hold that once the meat, the taste, goes into the new piece of meat, and it's not batel then, it wasn't nullified then, that whole piece of meat becomes prohibited, and therefore you'd need 60 times that whole new piece of meat, which would complicate being mevatel. It would make it much more difficult and have all sorts of problems. Tosfos, when it counters this idea of Katicha Atzmanaseit Nevela, is surprised by it, because if that's true, he says, if you have a big pot, how would you ever, now it tells us the answer to that question, but how would you ever be able to kosher a big pot because it's too big to put into another pot? So the Shach says, if the Beis Yosef was right, if the Shulchan Aruch was right about his idea, what's the problem? Right? You just put, and Tosfos, Tosfos is bothered by the fact that it says you can't boil the water within itself, because any piece of water, any water that's in that pot, even if you think it's going to be 60 times, but as soon as the water goes into it, Chatich Atzmanaseit Nevela becomes Nevela, becomes prohibited itself, and you're never going to have to do it. You'd have to put it into something else, and you don't have anything big enough. So the Shach says, I don't understand. Right? Shach says, because in a Kli Gadol, so Tosfos is not 60 in the water to nullify what's inside the Kli. So the Shach says, I understand, just put in the water and put dirt in the water, make it non-viable, non-edible, and that should be the thing. That's the Shach's problem. The Taz also had a problem because there's a Rama in the name of the Mahariel who says that if you have a kli, if you have a pot in which you put water for shampooing purposes, so he says you shouldn't use it You shouldn't use it for food purposes. And the reason is, he says, because to make the shampoo, you take afer shalakir, you take ashes from on an oven or a stove, and those ashes very often have mixed basar b'chalav in them. Why do they have mixed basar b'chalav? Because it's a stove on which you'll sometimes cook basar, and sometimes you'll cook chalav, and that's how that works. It's a whole discussion of its own. But you do, and therefore the ashes at the bottom of the stove, which then are eventually used for shampooing, for making water to shampoo one's hair, so that has mixtures of basar b'chalav. So you shouldn't use it for that. But if the Shulchan Aruch is right, it's only not in time to come because it's just ashes, so shouldn't that mean? So that those are issues that come up. So the Rav Pinchas Zvichi says, well, the question of the Shach isn't such a terrible question, because it could be that Tilsus was just trying to figure out how could you find a way to kosher something with just water, because the Torah seems to imply that Hagalah, boiling things to get them kosher again, applies to everything. You can always do Hagalah with just water. In other words, it's not, he's saying maybe it's not that there was no way to do it, it's that there's no way to do it with just water, and the impression of the Torah is you can do it with just water, and that was a question on the Chatika Atzma Nasei Tevela, people who held that the new item becomes completely usser, not just that it becomes a bearer of isser. And what Pinchas Zvichi says, and the Chacham Tzvi says something like that as well, so and the Chazon Ish says something like that as well, so it seems like that's a reasonable response to the Shach. Then another possibility, because we still have the question of the Taz, another possibility he says is it could be that the whole idea that dirt in the water is productive and helpful for our purposes, that's only in terms of basar b'chalav. And the reason why it's only in terms of basar b'chalav is because in the case of milk and meat is not quite unique, but it's a prohibition in the Torah with unusual characteristics, because you take two permissible items and then all of a sudden they mix with each other and become prohibited. So in that case, says the Chatam Sofer, if you stop them from mixing in a perfect way, that's where the chiddush comes in, that they don't become a basa b'chalav, right? Once the meat and the milk have mixed together, then they're basa b'chalav, and then you treat them like any other iser. But that's when they've already become. So that would be good for the Taz's question from the dirt at the bottom of the oven and using it in the shampoo and whatever, because it's already meat and milk mixed together. But what the Shulchan Aruch was saying was that if you put the dirt into the dishwasher, their vat dishwashers, then then it prevents the basar b'chalav from ever being created. It's not that you mix in dirt. Oh, now it's no telling you have to worry about it, right? Let's say I had basar b'chalav and I said, okay, I have basar b'chalav, but I need to use it for some reason in some context, and I want to prevent it from making other things prohibited. I'll put dirt in the other. So that nobody, that's the Shulchan Aruch never said. It's that the Shulchan Aruch is saying, if we're going to mix milk and meat dishes in a vat and wash them together, then the afer, the dirt, will prevent it from ever becoming basar b'chalav, and therefore I should be okay. And then that would also explain why you couldn't do it with the dishes that they took from Midyan, because those already had the meat and milk mixed in together. Along the way, by the way, he says, so you see that even though he knew of people who argued with the Shulchan Aruch, he also finds many people who resolve those questions and therefore implicitly agreed with the Shulchan Aruch about this possibility of stopping basar b'chalav from being created. In addition, the Prima Gaonim added that he thinks also in some of these situations, since we generally say the Torah was derech bishul asar Torah, the Torah prohibited in the way that you ordinarily cook it, once you put the dirt into the water, it's not derech bishulo, and therefore it's also not a problem of basar b'chalav, because it's not being created. Even if we're being created, it's not being created in the way that it's supposed to be, and therefore it should be okay. Coming back to dishwashers now, he says he thinks the same thing could be true. If you know, let's say you just scrape off the dishes before you rinse, so there's no be'ain meat, but there's no actual crumbs or pieces of meat or pieces of milk, but there's still the fat on the dishes. He says, but here he thinks that it's going to be mutter, because in his dishwasher that he's talking about, now I'm not sure that the dishwashers I know work exactly like this. I think the dishwashers that I know, they put the water in and then the soap sort of comes out later from the dispenser at some point a little bit later. That would be a problem for him, unless I made sure to put some soap in the dishwasher itself, so as soon as the water comes in, it mixes with this soap, this harsh soap, right away. So he says, once you do that, then even though the fat is going to get rinsed off of the dishes and come into the water, and there's going to be milk on the other dishes, and they're going to mix together, since the soap is already in the water, he thinks that's going to help out, and therefore that's going to prevent it, like the Shulchan Aruch said, from becoming basar b'chalav, and therefore you don't have a problem. But we do have a problem, because Rav Moshe Feinstein, in Igrot Moshe, Chelek Yerodea, I think the second one, Simon Chafhein, Chaftet, through Chaftet, he said, he seems to hold that you can't wash milk and meat together, dishes together in the same dishwasher. You can wash them separately from each other. And then he, Rav Moshe Feinstein, thought you needed different trays. Right? This is a famous plaque of Rav Moshe Feinstein. You could have the same dishwasher, but you have to switch trays. Rav Moshe Feinstein was worried not only about the dishwasher itself, but that the dishes are resting on a tray. If they're the same tray, the tray will absorb meat, let's say, and then the next time you get a thing, the tray will absorb milk, or the dishwasher's tray will put the meat taste back into the milk dishes you're now going to wash, and that's not going to be an aparnat. You're going to have a problem, and therefore he held you have to have different trays. Okay, Rabbeinu Pesvichi says, but I think based on the soap issue that I just came up with, I don't see why you'd have to mix the tray. You'd have to separate. You'd have to have different trays, different. I think that we call them trays, dishwasher racks. That's a better word. You'd have to have dishwasher racks. You wouldn't have to have dishwasher different separate racks, he says, because you're never creating any taste because you've got the water, the soap, being the parallel to the dirt that the Shulchan Aruch spoke about, and it's preventing the trace. He says, and I think, because, you know, if you're arguing with Rav Moshe Feinstein, it's not a great idea. So you want to try to say, no, Rav Moshe Feinstein would have agreed with me. So he says, I think that in his dishwasher that he was talking about, it would start off with just hot water. There would be no mixture of the soap that ruins the taste. And if you look in the dishwasher that he's describing, that's what it sounds like. Or possibly, he says, that since... He says maybe since the dishwasher itself absorbs some taste before it mixes with the soap, that's also going to be a problem, which might be a problem for us. Then even if you put the soap, you know, not in the dispenser, you put it just around the sides, it might be anyway. So he thinks those are problems and issues that come up for Moshe Feinstein because he's worried the taste is created before the soap gets a chance to interact with what's going on. Another possibility that Moshe Feinstein was worried about was he thought there might be too much water for the soap. I mean, we spoke before about whether there would be enough water to nullify the taste of the food items, but Moshe Feinstein seems to have also been worried that there's not enough to nullify, that there might be so much water to nullify the soap. Now, it seems odd to me that it would be enough to nullify the soap but not the food items, but that's what he's worried about. So that would suggest that you put in a lot of soap. I don't want a lot of soap, but to make sure that however much water is used, it doesn't nullify the taste of the soap, such as the water is never good edible water, then that should be okay. So now Rabbeinu Pesvichi adds, but you know what? If you wanted to be really, you know, frum about it, basically, if you want to be really careful, if you made sure to only wash meat or milk, each one separately, with the soap, and you waited 24 hours in between, then he thinks it should be clear, even without separate racks, that it should be okay. Because after 24 hours, we think that whatever taste was left over, he says there are those who hold even that even if there's actual food left over, it's considered an otin tam lifgam. It doesn't have the full original taste, and therefore it can't create the same isurim, and therefore you can add that in, and now you've got a sfeik, right? Maybe there's never any original taste. Maybe the soap, I think he thinks, maybe the soap stops from the taste from going in, and even if the taste can go in now, it's after 24 hours, there are those who hold that you can't create a full taste even from a ba'ain after 24 hours. In addition to which, there are those who hold that all you need 60 times of is the actual fat or oils, not the whole plate, and that would help the calculations and say that you would have enough to nullify it to begin with. So therefore, he thinks those are the things that you can do. And that's even without changing the racks, because once you're doing this, it means you're never creating a prohibited taste of basar b'chalav, and therefore you should be okay. Not only that, he says that's especially true. That's true. He thinks it's true. But it's especially true very often. What we call meat dishes aren't really meat dishes, meaning there's no actual meat dishes in them. So if that's all you have left on it is, then so let's say somebody had a bowl of soup, even if it had chicken in it to begin with. But let's suppose that in the bowl of soup, what's left over, there's no actual chicken. There's just leftover chicken soup. So that's not actual meat. So that's stuff that had the taste of meat in it. And therefore, it's another step. And therefore, it adds more room to say that it's nullified and doesn't create a taste of basar b'chalav. The Aruch HaShulchan said something very similar in Kuf Chav Bet. He said he thinks that in our foods, which are mostly potatoes, only with a little bit of meat into them, which is really not that I want to get on my high horse about this, but really what Cholent was all about to begin with, which is why our Cholents today are not original Cholents at all. Right? Cholents were about the fact that you didn't have enough money to buy a lot of meat, so what you did was you made a stew with a little bit of meat, and the beans and the potatoes absorbed the taste of the meat, so by eating potatoes, you could get taste of meat into it. So the Aruch HaShulchan said that because that's true, that means that what's left over is no real meat in their Cholents. It wouldn't be true of our Cholents today, but it would mean then that when you're washing the dishes of those things, you wouldn't have the same calculus because it's not actual meat that's involved in what's going on. Then he closes, he notes, and I'm going to not go too much longer because it's just sort of mopping up halachically. But he notes that there are actually many Sephardim post-game who said, nonetheless, we should be careful about this. We should be stringent, despite the fact that Shulchan Aruch's matir is allowing it. That there are many Sephardim, even Sephardim rabbis, who think that we should be more careful about it. The Chidah thought so. And part of the reason they think so is because the Ramah says, and so the Ramah is an Ashkenazic post, but they're going to accept this idea of his. The Ramah says that you have to treat the top of a pot. This is not a pot for dishwashing purposes. It's a pot that you cook things in. He says you have to treat the top of the pot as if you had cooked the items on that pot, on that top of the pot, even though the pot had no direct contact with the food at all. He says it should be, I'm sorry, he says the other way around. He says it should be that you treat it just like the kedera itself. But there were those who held that because it absorbs the, it's called the zeya, right? The evaporated elements, the steam that goes up from the cooking food into the pot, into the top of the pot, that's some held even stronger than the original list, so that even after 24 hours, you'd have to worry about it. And there are those who held that way, and there was a tradition that, that the Rav Yosef Karo had agreed with that as well. If that were true, then you might have to worry about that in terms of a dishwasher, because you could say in a dishwasher, forget what's going on in the water, but there's a whole bunch of steam, and if the steam, we're saying, carries an even better version of taste than the original food itself, you might think you have to worry about that. But Rav Pinchas Vichy doesn't think so. He thinks you don't have to worry about it, even though you have Sephardi post to worry about it. He's saying he doesn't think you have to worry about it, because even the Ramah himself, it said it was a chumra below tam, that to take it further than 24 hours, say it's even more than the original taste, that he thought was very too much of a chumra. He didn't think you had to do it. And the Ramah himself in Torah Chatat says, Yosher Cheli Avatel Ki Minhag Tos. I would get rid of it because it's a mistaken minhag. So therefore, he quotes it in Shulchan Aruch maybe, but he thinks that it's not the kind of thing you have to worry about. And then he mentions that he wrote this and he has these ideas. And he says, when they came before, he calls it Mori Virabi Maran Malka, our teacher, our king, Ravad Yosef, in Sefer Chazon Ovadia, he quotes this. So that is, there's one last piece that I'm going to skip now about whether or not they actually lose taste. There was some machon, some institute in Israel, tested foods after, you know, a certain amount of time. They said, nope, it retains its taste. So he's not getting into that. But fundamentally, Pinchas Vichy is pointing out that there are ways, so each kind of dishwasher would have to be adjusted each kind of way. You have to deal with it. You have to think about it. You have to look into it. But there are ways that it should be okay to have one dishwasher in a fully kosher home. The chumra version, right, the stringent version would be only to use that dishwasher for meat or milk within 24 hours. But once 24 hours have passed, you could then use it for the other thing without changing the racks. That is the position of Pinchas Vichy, in contrast to many who came before him, and that is a responsible day for Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Have a great day.